slap, they have a big cord that has a big knot on it. Or you have, let's say, either a cabinet is attached to the building, or a door that's attached to the building, or a cabinet that's not attached to the building. So we said in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if the cabinet is machzik yaser mi memso is the size of a mikveh, amal ama burum gimel amas, if the cabinet is so big, then it's considered a room bifnei atzma. That's what the Ramah quotes from in Ozarul. The Ozarul has a shtikl tartef, I emphasize certain kashas against Rashi. So that's what the Ramah quotes says, la'alocha. Then it's considered also like binyan. We paskin, there is a machlekes b'sham and b'silal and brachas in Shabbos and in Beitzah later, so we paskin that ain't binyan is stira b'kelim. Binyan is only by binyanim, either by mechubal karka, or even if it's not mechubal karka, yes, but by a room. If the cabinet is so big that it's machzik memsoh, so then it's considered a cheder. That's how the Rambam writes, that if you have a kli yetz abo b'mido, you have such a big wooden, it's called by a big aron kodesh, a big wooden box, so let's say a bookcase or a cabinet that's machzik yesemi memsoh, so there's one din. If it's also lenaches, let's say you have an amud that you rarely ever move around. This amud we always move around. When you have a shear, you move it up. When you lay kriyas atar, you move it back. So this always moves around. So that's not called a kliyets ha'osei lenaches. You can't say that it sits still. But the yarn kodesh, I don't know, the yarn kodesh is not attached.
No, it's not moved.
Yarn kodesh is not attached, but they never move it. Maybe once in a yovel they move it, but basically they rarely move it. So even if the yarn kodesh wouldn't be so gigantic, it happens that it's gigantic anyway. Even if they would move it every day, the din is that the yarn kodesh is not makabel tumah because it's machzik memso. It's ama alama barum gimalamis. There are two halachas. Either if it's too big, if it's ama alama barum gimalamis, machzik memso, then it's ena makabel tumah. Or even if it's not so gigantic, if it's a kliyets, to sit still, not to be moved around. So it's also not mekabel tumah, but the Rambam has said there's a difference. If it's a kliyets, it's machzik memsor, kliyets habo b'mido, gigantic, then it's machzik memsor. The Rambam writes it's not mekabel tumah because it's called harezik kechadorim. Harezik keholim kechadorim is considered a room. And rooms are not mekabel tumah. Things that are mekabel tumah are four, and last week said, odem mekelim ochel mamashkin. So only kelim. If the thing is a room, a binyan, a cheder, an ohel, it's not mekabel tumah. So the din is in Shulchan Aruch that there's only binyan istira by binyanim, and there's no binyan istira by kelim. So the Gemara has like this. Let's say the door is locked because someone tied a heavy cord, a big rope, and they tied big knots on it. But every day, it came out every day, they open up the knots, they untie the knots, and they open up the doors. People should go in and out. So that's called a kesher she'ena shel kayoma, Rashi says. So you're permitted to open it, to tie the knot and to untie the knot on Shabbos and Yom Tov, no problem. We are machmer on that. If the in Shulchan Aruch the Magen Avraham quotes Chumers already. If the knot is not osi lahatira techof dalet shor, if the knot is not aimed to be opened untied within 24 hours, so we are machmer that midrabbanim you're not allowed to open up. That if we, in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, we have three madregas. You have a kesher shel kayoma, that's a deraisa, that's a malacha deraisa. Then you have a kesher shena shel kayoma, but it's a little bit shel kayoma. So that's also midrabbanan. It's a little bit shel kayoma. Then you have a case, it's aroi daroi. Moshe Feinstein coins the term. If it's aroi daroi, it's in ganzen aroi, so then it's not even in Nisa derabbanan. So what's the case of aroi daroi? So in Shulchan Aruch, after all the chumras, I quoted from the Rishonim, so the biggest chumrah that we're machmer for is if the keshev is not osila hatira tochof dalet shos, if you're not going to untie it within 24 hours, so then we treat it as a keshev midirabonim, that you're not allowed to untie. The pashtus over here is not so. The pashtus in all the Gemara is not so. So here, so that din, this din we know, that if you have a knot, even if the knot locks the door on a building, and there is an issue of binyan istira, so to untie a knot is not binyan, and to tie a knot is not binyan to tie it, and is not considered stira to untie. It's only an issue of kosher amatir. And Rashi writes on the Gemara, it's had the garment to tie the knot and to untie the knot, because it's a kesher shen and shel kayama, no problem. But what if it doesn't pay to untie the knot? Have a knot that's tied, and it's a tircha gdaila to untie the knot. Well, the knot is already sitting there for a long time, and you can't really call it aroi daroi. So I want to take a knife and cut the knot open. So that's not a shayla. That's no longer a shayla of matir. That's a bigger shayla of soiser. What's a soiser? That the knot is sitting there for so long, so it sort of blends in to be part of this thing, whatever the thing is. So if the thing is a building, or if the thing is a room, there's a big enough cabinet, machzik mem, so it's big enough to be called a cheder or an ohel, then it's a shayla. I'm breaking off part of the ohel, so it's a shayla from soiser. Shulman HaTorah, one is only in violation of the malacha, the arise of soiser, if he does soiser, amenas, livnois, because soiser is mekalkal, and call him a kalkal and pturim. So the only time you chayv, if you do a malach of kilkal, is seiser al menas live nice. It means like this: I knocked down the building in order to build a nicer building. If I knocked down a building, I put back the same thing, so that's not the sack, and I didn't make it better. If I knock down, a lot of times people in Flatbush, they buy a beautiful mansion, then knock it down, they make a bigger mansion, make a fancier mansion. So that's seiser al menas live nice. You're going to make something fancy over there. So true min ha-Torah, it's not a malach of seiser, but when the Rabbanan even seiser shalom min ha-sliv, this is also a malach.
It's just there, but the door still stays closed, but you have to then open it anyhow. In other words, the knot is there to prevent you from perhaps opening the door. Once you cut the knot, the door still stays closed. And then you open up the door then. Is that considered seiser because you cut the knot?
Yeah, that's a shiloh seiser, because the knot used to be part of the building.
The whole
heavy rope used to be part of the building, and now, like breaking a window, let's say you have a window in a building, someone smashes a window, so that's seiser. So that's seiser, but it's mekalkel. So call it mekalkel and pturim, and it's potter, but it's potter avolosim. So here Shmuel is saying over the dinim. So he says, if you want to untie the knot, there's no problem of matir in this case, because it's a kesher sheino shel kayom, it's aroi daroi, it's at the gomer. That's what he's talking about, such a case, that it's an aroi daroi knot. But let's say instead of untying the knot, it's too complicated in a knot to untie, and it's sitting there for a long time, so he wants to take a knife and cut it. So is that permissible? So Shmuel explained, the way Rashi interprets Shmuel, that's an issue of seiser, amalach of seiser. With the Rabbanan, because not so hamanas livnos. So what's taki herzach with the seiser? So Shmuel makes a distinction between Kalim and Karka. That if it's Karka, or if it's a big cabinet that's more than Memsor, according to the Ramos Chumer from the Ozarua, so that's also considered like an Ohel, like a Cheder, so then there's an issue of Binyan Estira. So then it's going to be awesome with the Rabbanan, even to cut the knot. But what if it's Kalim? So then the din is that there's no Estira B'Kalim. And in the Vilna Goyen's Bir on Shulchan, the Mishnah Berurah quotes on Shulchan Aruch from the Bir HaGro on the Shulchan Aruch, a point that's relevant here. Many people mentioned last week when we started this Gemara that there's a Machlekes Rashi and Taisus in Masechah Shabbos. When the Gemara says that there's no binyan istira b'kelim, what does that mean? So Rashi's opinion is, even if you take raw material, let's say I take plywood, I take wood and I take a saw and I cut the piece and I take nails and a hammer and I bang it together and I make a table with feet and everything. So that's a malacha of makabat patish, but it's not a malacha of boina. Even I made it yesh meyayim. Or let's say I fix television, I fix an automobile, I'm an automobile mechanic, or I fix a broken television, I take out a tube, I replace a tube, I do all kinds of complicated things. So the Gemara says if you really need an expert in order to fix the television, there is a malacha. The Rashi says, yeah, it's a malacha, but it's not the malacha of bona, there's never binyan b'kelim. That's a malacha, makav patish, it's a different malacha, but it's not the malacha of bona. So Taisus disagrees. What's the difference? Which malacha?
If you give Asura
for the wrong malacha, let's say he'll do two malachas behelam echad. So if you violate two different malachas behelam echad, you chayv shtei chatos. You repeat the same malacha behelam echad, you only chayv one chatos.
You make the table, you do such a sloppy job, it's not really finished. It's not really finished.
Even if it finishes, according to Rashi, it doesn't matter.
Still be maka. No, still be pashtus. It will still be maka about pashtus. The chiddush is, let's say I make a table that works, and I use the table for a year, and then I decide now I'm going to polish it, paint it, I'm going to fix it. So that's also maka about pashtus. And then I've already fixed it, and then 5 years later I get richer, and I'm going to pay gold around the end. That's right, the maka about pashtus. You can do maka about pashtus many times. But the pashtus is that the first time you do is also makabat patish. The first thing you do. Taisus even disagrees with Rashi. We're going to have to start this Gemara. Lama Beis Amal. Taisus says even when you start, when you start to make a kli, even if you didn't finish, that's also Tosis claims that that's also a makadah patish, even though you didn't complete it, even though you didn't finish it, it's also a makadah patish. Most of the Rishonim hold like that. There's one minority opinion there.
It's not yet usable. It's not a finished. Micro patish is usually the last.
That's how some say, and Tosis holds that it's not. So Tosis holds that when you start the asiyas hakli, even if it's not finished, it should also be a violation of makadah patish. If you just start, we'll have to see. Tosis, Rashi doesn't learn.
What was the minority opinion? I didn't hear it.
There in Shabbos, the Meiri has such an opinion that you only chay mishem makabah patish if it's already a kli, and then you give a finishing touch to a kli.
That's a last parush.
Makabah patish.
That's a parush. Yeah.
But if you made a kli and you still didn't do the finishing touch, then you're not chay. The first time you polish the shoes, you mean I made a pair of shoes and I dye it. The first time you do it, that's makabah patish, right? Or the Gemara says in Shabbos, in the days of the Gemara, they used to have shoes. We have shoelaces, and we have holes that are made. Everything goes in easily. Everything fits very. It's very easy. A 6-year-old child can put in the shoelaces. Not so complicated. But in the days of the Gemara, it wasn't so easy to put in the shoe straps. They didn't have shoelaces. They had shoe straps, and to pull it through the holes. The holes weren't made so fancy the way we have. So the Gemara says there, Masechta Shabbos, when you manufacture a shoe, and the shoemaker makes a pair of shoes, and either I or the shoemaker puts in the straps for the first time, puts in the shoe straps for the first time, so that's a violation of makabah patish.
But
yes, it wouldn't be makabah patish.
The pockets in the suit.
Yeah, that would be makabah patish. Yeah.
Suit, open up the pockets. The
suit is wet one way or the other, even if the pockets are sewn up.
But that's the finishing touch.
You can wear.
Let's have a table that's usable, but then add a finishing touch to it, so it makes it even fancier. So that's makabah patish. So we say that's also makabah patish. Make the table as a lot of makabah patish, but even if the table is functional and you add a finishing touch, also makabah patish. So there's a Miriam, Masech Shabbos disagrees. He says no, the only time one is in violation of makabah patish is if you do the finishing touch after the ready is a kli, but making it into a kli doesn't ishkin makabapa. That's only boinah. That's only boinah. The opposite from Rashi. Rashi says that there's never any binyan bekalim. Yeah. Well, he doesn't agree with Rashi. He holds like Tosis. Yeah. But when you say ain binyan bekalim, Tosis sheet is that. Rashi says even if you make a table, you fix a broken automobile, you fix a television, you have to be a world's biggest expert. You have to be a mumche in the field to know how to fix the television, how to fix the automobile. The Rashi says there's no violation of Baina, it's only all these things that are forbidden is makabah patish, not Baina. And Tosis disagrees and says, no, there's no binyan bekalim means if you have a convertible sofa. So, like the advertiser, 6-year-old child can open up the convertible sofa. If you don't need a mumche, if you don't need an uman to open it up, so then it's not a violation of Baina. But if you have to be a specialist in the field, like to fix an automobile or to fix a television, then Tosis says it's boina also. It's not just going to be makabah patish, it's going to be boina. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosis. So the Mishnah Brura quotes in the Hilcha Shabbos from the Bir Agro, things I mentioned last week, this machlokes Rashi and Tosis. Whether there's ever binyan mekalim. So the Vilna Gaon says, but even if we follow Tosis, we assume like Tosis, that there is binyan mekalim if you make mamash kli mechadosh, or if you need an umen to put all the pieces together. If a head yut yachal ha'cha zero, a kli shall prokim. If you have a kli that's made up of different pieces and you put it together, let's say a folding table or a folding chair, so the chairs are folded, you open it up, so that's going to be boinem. Anybody, you don't need a mumche to open it up, so that's same pinyin bekelem. But if you have a kli where you have to put it together and you have to be an expert, so then Tosis says that it is binyan. Dr. Vilna Gaon, but even according to Tosis, that there is binyan gomer is bekelem, but stira is not at all bekelem. There's no stira at all bekelem. Stira is only binyanim, b'chadorim, b'holim. There's no stira bekelem at all. I'll be pashtus. There would be no malach of seisa. The problem is the Ramah writes a chumrah. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Shabbos that you're not permitted to use a broom that has bristles that fall off. Because kol ha'mekalkel and peturim, but pater avalos. So that's very difficult. Kol ha'mekalkel. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos. Kol ha'mekalkel term. Kol ha'mekalkel term means like this: the olam etes avos malachas, and in order to violate a malach has to be a malachas machsheves. And b'as teis malachas machsheves, he did the malach in an oifen of misakin. But if he does a malach and an oifen of kilkul, let's say he erases something, I have a check. Basically, I have a check that's made out for $100, and then someone comes and erases everything on the check. So he's mafsid it. So what did he do over here? He was moichek shalom on aslichtoi, and he was makalkal over here. Before it was worth $100, now it's worthless, now it's nothing. He erased it, had a beautiful painting, and he removes all of the paint, and I'm left with nothing. So if he did a malach of moichek, but it's moichek shalom on aslichtoi, so it does say, well, let's say he dynamites the building. So a lot of people do that in Borough Park. They buy a beautiful building, then they rip it down, then they build a mansion, a palace, and a fancy apartment. So that says amanas livnus. If the person does say there shalei amanas livnus, then the Mishnah says kol amekalkul and pturim. It's part of avalos. Does zatz gered givani? He did a malacha. He did a malacha, but he did a malacha and even have kilkul. What if he takes a paper cup and he crumbles the cup in his hand and he throws it in the garbage? A lot of people, when they finish drinking, so they take the cup and they crumble it. So the Ramah comes up and he says, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So he said the Rabbana, why? Because you mekalkul a paper cup. What do you mean? Makala makalkal and pturim means if you did a malacha, if you did one of the recognized 39, we have a list of 39 malachas. So if you do a malacha, baif and shal mesakein, it's a malacha deraisa. If you do a malacha, baif and shal mekalkal, so you're lacking malachas masheve, so it's only awesome at the rabbana. But if you didn't even do a malacha, how can you say it's a kala makalkal and pturim? Base, let's say.
On aluminum foil, you use in Shabbos and you crumple it up after you use it. Will be like on the Ramah, will be also to do it, no?
And if you have an aluminum foil tin, let's
tin,
say,
yeah.
Said, oh, aluminum foil tin, yeah, was it clay? Yeah, okay. And then you fold it up, yeah. Stam aluminum foil.
No, I mean,
if you have a tin, yeah. So the Ramah said you shouldn't fold up, right?
Tin, yeah,
you shouldn't
tin.
Do that.
Yeah,
that's how the Chazon Ish writes. Chazon Ish writes that today that they manufacture umbrellas, and a six-year-old child can open up an umbrella also. So he tells that there's no malacha of bona, even with the rabbanon, it's not even oil ara, it's nothing with nothing, because it's asi lakach. Seems to be from the Gemara like that. It's asi lakach, and he says that if you have a baby stroller and you open it and you extend the hood on top, so he says it's hetegomer because it's manufactured like that. Everything is mutter. You don't even have to have that. It should be spread out of tefach from before Shabbat. There's some dinim in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. If it's spread out of tefach, then you can extend it further. Yeah, so he claims that by the baby strollers that we have, that they're manufactured like that, or the umbrellas, he says that it's hetegomer. He only says that by the umbrella, he thinks that you're not allowed to open up the umbrella on Shabbos because it's uv the dechol. That's a shot. Why is it over the chol?
My door is over the chol.
It means more Shabbos dick to get something wet on Shabbos.
Yes.
What does it mean? Unless it means traditionally it's over the chol, because the Reform used to, because years ago the Reform used to carry umbrellas, but there was no Eruv. So that's what it means. Avach de Gazach. It looks like.
To carry anything when there's an Eruv.
Yeah.
Carrying,
it's
the opening, as you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's unclear exactly. It's unclear
who
what the Chazanish writes. Kaisel has also an Arichas and the Mishnayis. He has also an Arichas about opening. I think also says Mutter to open up umbrellas. Also,
the
Shaila.
You open the umbrella, it changes the whole tzura. So what? You open a chair, it changes the tzura too.
So the Chazanish quotes a Gemara like he says that if it was manufactured lachatchila, adaita dehachi. And it's easy to do it. You don't have to have any expertise to know how to open up an umbrella. So it's like opening a folding chair, opening a folding thing.
Complex ropes and things like
that. Right.
Why can women carry pocketbooks on Shabbos? The Yekis do. Is that open to the hall?
They're special pocketbooks.
They're special Shabbos digger pocketbooks.
Yes. That's what they told me in the German.
He says they have special Shabbos digger pocketbooks. I'm not
Shabbos
familiar.
Special Shabbos digger
pocketbooks. Okay.
Yeah, silver, you know.
Huh?
Silver.
If you have an Erev, if you don't have an Erev, you're not allowed to carry. But if you have an Erev, then it's only a Shaila Buv de Dechol, so you don't use a Vach Dikat Pakab.
Yeah, Pakab, you have to say Uv de Dechol, but an umbrella, what's that?
I don't know what the Chazanish says. He said, somehow he feels that an umbrella is Uv de Dechol, but on a baby stroller, that he thinks is Mutter. So Ramosha Feinstein has in his Chubis that somebody asked him, What does he say about the Chazanish's kula that you're permitted to open up the on the baby stroller? You're permitted to open up the hood, the cover, even though it wasn't extended at Tefach Mevod Yom. So he says, nobody does that. Everybody knows that it's also. So the Chazanish is wrong. I don't even have to discuss it. Yeah. He doesn't have to write a tshuva to explain why the Chazanish is wrong, because we all know we don't do that. That you're not allowed to do that.
But everybody does.
What?
What if you had a Shabbos umbrella?
Then it shouldn't be an Uvda Dechol. I don't know what he means by the Uvda Dechol. I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, so getting back, huh?
What's the difference in the Shabbos umbrella?
It's nicer.
Fancy. You get a fancy one. Somehow the Chazanish also. I don't know what he means. See here again. See here, the Gemara talks about to untie the knot in order to open up. So that's matir, and that's if it's a kesher sheni shal kayama, because you open up the knot every so often, so that's not a problem. But the shot is, what if it's too complicated to open up the knot? You want to take a knife and cut the whole thing. So that's a shailah from soyser, because the knot is like part of the piece that it's tied onto. So if it's attached to a building, or if it's attached to a big cabinet that's machzik memso amalama burum gimalama, so then it's called soyser and a binyan. So soyser and a binyan is taka pram. It won't be an isa deraisa. It's not soyser and as live nice. You're not improving it over here. But it still, it'll be a seisam of the rabbanon. But if it's attached to a kli, so there's no stira b'kelim at all. There's never any stira b'kelim. That's what they've only gone to. Even though Tosfos was machadish, that binyan you do have sometimes b'kelim. If you have binyan gomer, you make a real kli, you bang together nails. So Tosfos says not only will it be makaba patish, it'll be bona also. But seisam you never have b'kelim.
What about cutting up the rope? So you're cutting
off the rope. So that's the shaila of soyser.
The rope is destroyed.
Right. So
you have the length of rope, and now you cut it into two pieces or three pieces.
Yeah.
So you are makalti of the rope.
I mean, the Ramos chumra. The Ramos said you shouldn't do it. I guess that's post Talmudic. The Ramos chumra is not this manah gemara. It didn't exist this manah gemara. The Ramos says you're not allowed to take a cup and crush it. You're not allowed to take a broom if the bristles are going to fall out. So that Chumras Ramah must be after the times of the Gemara. The Gemara seems that it is Mutta.
Yeah.
A new Chumra that didn't exist in the days of the Gemara.
What's in the jacket if you forgot to open up the pockets? It won't be Muktzah to wear it for Shabbos.
No, even though it's still a pocket. Although it may have inside a tag that says it was inspected.
So then
you're carrying. Sometimes they put the tag in the pocket over here.
They put it only in the open pockets.
Okay. Okay, then there's no problem. So here the Gemara has a problem with Shmuel. The Shmuel says it doesn't make a difference si Shabbos, si Yontif, about cutting, opening up, if it's a kasher sheni shel kayamos muta, beim Shabbos, beim Yontif. That's no problem. But what about cutting the knot? You have a big knot and you don't want to bother to untie it, so you want to cut it. So Shmuel says it doesn't make a difference whether Shabbos or Yontif. If it's mechuber, if the knot is attached to mechuber lekarka, to a big cabinet that's machzik memso, so then it's, you're not allowed to. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, you're not allowed to. And if it's attached to a kli, there's no stira b'kelim at all, and it's had to gomer bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos. That's what it's echad shabbos v'echad yantav, it's all the same. Reg markasha meisvei. Mark quotes Shmuel's member, about the 10 lines from the bottom of Lamed Aleph and Beis. So I think Mark asked akasha meisvei, but it's not so. It says, regarding chaysamish of the karka, regarding a knot that's tied on to, attached to the ground, attached to a door, attached to a big cabinet or something. So it says that there is a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. It says only on Shabbos you're not allowed to, on Yontif you are allowed to. So how can it, it's a hastira with Shmuel, it's in contradiction to Shmuel. So Shmuel answers, Hamani Rameh Yom Af Pasea Af Peches Lachatchilam and Oitel. Shmuel says that's the machlekes in the Mishnah. What was the machlekes in the Mishnah?
A house.
If you have, you more interpret it like that. The Mishnah is a little unclear. You more interpret the Mishnah that I have bricks that are piled up in a row, and the bricks are preventing me from getting to my food. My food is behind these bricks, and the bricks are not cemented together. But the bricks are piled up, I plan to put cement on it. So it's oimei to do a malacha of binyan. If you're going to cement the bricks, so tell me to do a malacha of binyan, so the bricks are mukta, because they're oimei to be used for malacha. So by tilta mukta should be mutra and yantif, the tzarech ha'chonefesh, if this is in the way, I should be allowed to remove it in order to get to the food behind it. So the shaila is, if that's the only issue involved, is tilt and muk to the tzarech hachanemish, then there wouldn't be a machlekes hatanayim. Then everybody would agree that it was mutter. That's the bottom tesis, and that the bottom tesis on lamed aleph on the base, and that we have gemaras in the first parak and the second parak, a few gemaras floating around and tesis and rambams and shulchan aruch. Everybody says that it's mutter. Tilt and muk to the tzarech hachanemish is mutter because tilt and muk to can't be more chomer than hoytzor. Tilta Muktzah, they prohibited midrabbanan agzerim shum haitzor, lest you forget and carry. But even to carry is mutta the tzarech hachanavish. The tilta Muktzah, the tzarech hachanavish are also mutta. So that's fine. The only shayla is though, but if you have the bricks are piled up and you're going to take apart the bricks, maybe it's a malacha of soser midrabbanan. Maybe it's not only tilta Muktzah, maybe it's a malacha of soser midrabbanan. So what would you say, soser is mutta the tzarech hachanavish? Probably
you
not.
Have to take out from a bag, food, you have a can, and you have to open up, what's it in there? It's also soiser, no?
That's the question, is that soiser? There's no stira b'kelim. That's what the Vilna Gaon said, there's never stira b'kelim. It's not mechuber.
So this is from the mechuber.
The shayla is maybe it's boina, maybe it's poseach. Maybe if you make a pesach, if you have a kli that's completely closed, and you make an opening in it, where there was no opening from before, so Oisa Pesach is Malacha Bona, and Taisi says that there is either Oisa Pesach is Bona or it's Makaba Patish, it's one or the other. Oisa Pesach is either Bona, Rashi and Shabbos writes the two Pshotim, and Rashi and Ksuvas writes the two Pshotim. That Oisa Pesach is a Malacha Deraisa sometimes, and it's either Malacha Bona or Makaba Patish, one or the other. So that's the Shaila. When you open up the bag, it's not so much a Shaila of Sosa, because it's not steel became at all. And maybe it should be like Oisa Pesach. That's the shaila. That's the shaila. So Moshe has a long tshuva, and he thinks that it's mutter. He argues the point, and he says, let's say I have a banana. So I remove the banana peel in order to eat the banana. So is anyone going to say that that's Oisa Pesach? He couldn't eat the banana, because man that has, he doesn't want to eat the banana peel. So he removes the peel on the outside. So you're going to say that that's called Oisa Pesach? He made an opening in order to get the banana out. So he says, no, that's not called Oisa Pesach. It's not called Asiyas Kli. That's a wrapper. That doesn't count. That's the shema to the pri. It's a peel. So he claims that the same is true regarding if you have a can of tuna fish or you have a bag of potato chips or whatever you have in the bag and you open it up. He says that the wrapper, when you rip open the wrapper, that's not called the Malacha of Oisa Pesach, it's just a wrapper, it's like the peel, it's like the shell on top of the nuts, and there's no Malacha involved at all. And he interprets Gemaris like that. So that's what many others disagree. That's a shal, if you're allowed to... Pardon me? That's what he writes, yeah. Unless you plan to reuse the cans many times. He says if you have a banana peel, you throw it out in the garbage. You just use it once, and then you throw it out. So he has a Mishnah and Kalim like that. And whenever you have a kli that you only use once, it does not have the din of a kli, and it's not mekabel tuma. So that's Taka Mishnah. That's Taka Mishnah that says it's not called the kli and kol hatar kula. So it can't be an iser of asiyas kli. But the Mishnah happened, those who disagree with Rav Moshe point out, the Mishnah is talking about a type of a kli which only lends itself to be used once. Let's say a pumpkin, he used to hollow out a pumpkin, he used to put the food in it and cook it like that or something. It was only shaykh to use it once. It wasn't shaykh to reuse it. But our cans, we could reuse it very often. Just Saloin Tuchnish doesn't pay. Why should we bother? We have nice kalim in America, we can afford it. But there are other countries in the Far East, in the Near East, in Africa, when they have a tin can, they'll use it and reuse it and reuse it. They're not going to throw it out so fast. They'll use it many, many times. So Ramosh is machadish. So that's Ramosh's chidish. That if you have a kli, despite the fact that it could theoretically be used over and over several times, but since you personally only use it, the minigam dina is that you only use it once and then you throw it out, the Moshe claims that's the same as the Mishnah, that the kli that you only use once like a banana peel. That is not called the kli, it's a wrapper. It's a wrapper, so there's no ice effect. Because that you do reuse.
Is it the pot or the cat?
Huh?
Is it the the bottle itself, or is it the cap? What
I don't know. I don't know. I never heard. I never learned Baruch Moshe. I was told 45 years ago, they said the Rav Moshe held that the Easter in taking off the bottle cap is Isa Pesach in the bottle.
So that should that be the old. Can, that should
that
be
the old. Okay. No, that the old the bottles of soda where the cap used to sit on top, and the bochum and the yeshiva used to take a fork or a knife. He used to break all the yeshiva forks and knives. He used to open up like this, you know, the soda bottle. So there, the cap sits on top, like a hat on top. So when you remove the cap, that's not called Isa Pesach Chodesh. The old Pesach is there and it's closed up, but the bottle caps that they make that sit like 3/4 of an inch down, half an inch in. So they said the name Rav Moshe. I don't know if it's authentic. That's what I heard 45 years ago. That's very well held together. And if you open up such a bottle cap, that's called Isa Pesach Chodesh. I Rav Moshe also knows Isa Pesach. So he said, that's only if you're gonna open up a can of tuna and empty everything out right away and throw it out. Sometimes a person opens a can, he uses half, then he leaves the other half, and he puts it in the refrigerator in the half a can. So then he did make a Pesach. Then he did make a kli. Then he did make a kli. So if you make a bottle, if you open up the soda bottle, you take off the cap, and you throw it out, and you're not gonna, and you empty out the whole bottle, and you're not gonna reuse it. So then there will be what to discuss. But the minhag hamedina is that you don't do that. Minhag hamedina is that you open a bottle of soda, you use part of it, then you close it, then you continue to use the bottle as a container. So that is a shaila. You use it a few times. You don't empty out all of the contents right away. That's what I was told. That Rav Moshe held that it's a problem on the bottle. So because Rav Moshe writes in his sefer also, if you have, let's say, you buy a container, a cardboard container of milk in the store, or orange juice. So you open it up and you make a spout on the side. So Rav Moshe has in his sefer, he considers that a malacha b'Isa Pesach. Why Isa Pesach? Because you use it and reuse it. You're not going to pour everything out. You're going to pour out a drink and then you're going to put the rest back in the refrigerator. So he considers that Isa Pesach. Why is that Isa Pesach? But there already was a Pesach. If you have a bottle of soda, you can't open it and close and open and close, open and close. So what's wrong? There is a Pesach. So he says, no, since the bottles of milk and the containers of orange juice are sealed together so well that if you hold it upside down, you put it sideways in the refrigerator, it doesn't leak out. So he considered that as a steamer ma'al. He said that's mevatel Pesach. So then when you open it again, you make a brand new spout, you consider that as making a new Pesach.
And
that's what he has in his sefer.
You have an open bottle and you close it securely.
No.
You can open it up and shower, aren't you making another?
No, that's
no,
right.
No.
You made into a clean.
But it was already before.
It was a Pesach. There already was a Pesach. You just closed.
Held upside down and won't spill out.
No. That's not. I think everybody would agree to that. But Rav Moshe feels if they glued it together and then you open it up, so since the glue was such a good job and everything blended in and it couldn't leak out, so he thinks that that's called the steam of malus, and then when you open it up, that's called Isa Pesach. So I think that's what I was told. That was his opinion about opening up the bottles with the caps. He thought that that's called the steam of malus. The Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael think not so. They quote Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Eretz Yisrael thought that it's just a shaila of Asiyas Kli on the cap, not so much Isa Pesach on the bottle. On the bottle, after they assume that.
Well, you use that cap all kinds of food. You make out a little cap a little like that.
You made a cap out of it.
Yeah.
You made a.
If you put in
a bottle cap. No, you made a bottle cap out of it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, and he's quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, that there's a difference between a metal on the bottles of wine. They have metal bottle caps on top that you have to unscrew. And on a lot of soda bottles, instead of metal, they have plastic. So he claimed that there's a difference between the two, that the plastic bottle caps, the difference in the manufacturing, which leads to a difference in halacha, that the plastic bottle caps were manufactured originally as bottle caps. They already were bottle caps. And then they put them on the thing, so the bottle was already a bottle, and the cap was already a cap. Now, when you rip it off, so you make it 1/4 inch smaller because you rip it at the perforation, so you held it that per se, ripping, cutting at the perforation, he didn't think constituted any issue. So he says that it's a plastic bottle cap, he thinks you're permitted to open it up on Shabbos. He writes about using toilet paper also, he doesn't think that that's a prohibition, cutting at the perforation.
You don't rip it on the where it's cut.
He thinks even if you do rip it where it's cut. They quote Rav Yashin, Rav Shlomo Zalman, they held that it's not an Issa. I thought that that's Mechatach B'midah.
Yeah.
So he holds that's not Mechatach B'midah. Mechatach B'midah means if you're interested in a specific size, I want to make a poster that's so many inches by so many inches. I want to make a card or something. So I cut it, I take a scissors and I cut it to size. Here, I'm not cutting it to size, it's just it's easier to rip on the perforation than not on the perforation. I'm not so interested in the size. So they quoted the name of these two gedolim that that they thought that it was no. I don't know what I. So he said if it's a plastic cap that already was a cap before you put it on the bottle, then there's neither an iser as there's no iser asiyas pesach on the bottle. The pesach still retains from before. Not like Rav Moshe with the steam and Mal Yisrael with the whole story. The pesach on the bottle is still there. And there's no asiyas kli on the bottle cap, but if it's a metal.
Like
bottle
wine,
cap. So he says the way they make the metal caps is that they take a flat piece of metal
and then skips
and after they fill the bottle up with wine or soda, whatever it is, then they take this thing and then they push it around. So he claimed that, that in that case it never functioned and that it never served at all as a clean. You're making it when they folded it around, it didn't function as a bottle cap. It stuck onto the bottle. So the asiyas ha bottle cap into a kli. There's a bottle is one kli and a cap is another kli. So the cap is only made into a cap when you remove it from the bottle. So that's why he distinguishes between the metal and the plastic.
They have the wine, which some wines have a cork, and then they have a little, like sometimes a metal or plastic cover on it, which you have to rip off. But that you don't make into a cap. That you just rip off and throw it away.
Throw it away.
Yeah, that's not certainly not.
Yeah, I don't think that's
a the cork.
Okay, well, that's permissible.
Yeah.
That's permissible. The shaila is though when you have this metal. Stringy cover on top of the cork, so sometimes you have it twined together.
Like a kesher, no?
The, like a lot of times when you buy challis in the store, so they have a twist that's twined together. So that's a discussion in modern poskim whether that's a malacha. And the Rambam is mashma that it's a malacha to twine something or to untwine something.
Isn't it like a kesher?
Not a kesher for you,
The Rama is not a kesher. I think the Rama writes up a separate malacha, paisel psilois. I don't even know what are the lama test of his malacha. So one of the malachas there that we're not so ruggle in is a malacha to take different threads and to make one big string out of all of it.
But he's not making any big string. He just
here I take two ends and I twine them together.
Yeah, but
or here, here I untwine here the bottle of wine. So sometimes I have to untwine these stringy pieces
of wire,
the stringy wires from each other. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa Paskins, I think that it's mutter. But he writes that there are some who hold that it's aser. Sabir Aloch and Mishnah Brura. There are opinions who hold that it's aser. I think he writes probably from Avshalom Zaman that it's mutter. That's the Shaila, yeah. So I think the Shmir Shabbos quotes that it's mutter. But he writes that there are those who hold aser. His maskana is that it's mutter. So getting back again, well, what was again the Shaila? So if the only problem would be that you have bricks piled up in a pile. Loose bricks, and the bricks are omdim lebinyan, that you plan to cement them, and therefore that makes the bricks into muktzin. It's an issue of tilta muktzin in order to get to the food behind the bricks. So that's the bottom tesis on Lamed Aleph and Beza. That's Mekairis in the Gemara. That's mutim. Mishnais and Brises and Gemaras. The tilta muktzin is mutim l'tzarach nevish. But the added problem is maybe not only is there an issue of tilta muktzin, maybe there's a malacha of soser. If the bricks are cemented together to the ground, that's real soser. Maybe you have soser mid the rabbana. So are you allowed to do soser letzarach achal nefesh? Let's see, are you allowed to do boina letzarach achal nefesh? So that's what we said last week. No, there's a tesis in Masechus Shabbos. Let's say the fellow is cold on Yontif, it's chilly, and he has no place to live. His house fell apart. He wants to sit in the sukkah. Is he allowed to build a sukkah on Yontif? So tesis writes maybe it's mutam and atayra. Since it's mutter the tzarcha chanevish, mutter the tzarcha yom ktsas, but bottom line test says, midrabbanan, you're not allowed. You're not allowed to do boina, even though the tzarcha chanevish, you're not allowed to do boina. So mistami, you're not allowed to do soyser either, even though the tzarcha chanevish. But here the whole soyser is only midrabbanan. This is not a real stirim in Atari. You have bricks piled up. They're not cemented together. So the maximum you can say that you're doing a soyser midrabbanan, and it's the tzarcha chanevish. You want to get the food that's hiding behind it. So there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah. Machlokes Tanakama Rameh. So Tanakama says you're not allowed to take it apart. So Vazdok thought of Tanakama, you're not allowed to take it apart. Tankam says you're not allowed to be metalkal muktzah b'tzorcha chomefish. Nah, Tosis writes that's mutter l'chalav days. Every 10th lot, Tosis repeats that. Tilta muktzah b'tzorcha chomefish and mutter. That was never disputed.
Shabbos so what and Yontif.
Huh?
Shabbos and Sar Yontif.
No, Yontif. Oy chomefish. Heter, oy chomefish. Like Hoytzor is mutter for oy chomefish, that Tilta muktzah is also mutter for oy chomefish.
We talk about Hasmuna here. The bricks are only Muslim. It was only Hasmona. He didn't build it yet.
Yeah.
So it's Muktzah.
That's why it's Muktzah, because it's Oymid Lehishtamish Bo Lebinyan. I planned to put the cement on it. So since it's Oymid Lebinyan, so that's why it's considered Muktzah. That's what the Gemara says. Shaginu, if you pile the bricks up and you demonstrate that you plan to cement them, Vadayak Tzimu, you just made it into Muktzah. Yeah. If you have leftover bricks lying around that it doesn't seem that you're going to use it for building purposes, then Gemara says that it's not even Muktzah. Then it's a kli, because you can use it as a coaster. You can use it as a kli to put things, to put other kelim on top of. So then the brick would not be muktzah. But if Shargino, the Gemara says, if you piled it up, and indicating that you plan to cement it, the Vadeaksini just made it into muktzah. So the Tilton muktzah, on Yontif, Tilton muktzah, Tachachamefesh, that Taisha says, prepared to say, everybody holds muktzah. But the Tanakama holds, you're not allowed to knock down the wall over here, even though it's Tachachamefesh. So the Tanakam apparently holds that there is in addition to the issue of the Tilta Muktzah, there's also an issue of Soiseh. There's a Malacha Soiseh mit the Rabbanan, even though it's not cemented together. Rameyah says it's Mutta Lachatchila to knock it down. So that's what we were discussing last week. What does Rameyah hold? Rameyah holds that the only issue involved is only Tilta Muktzah. He holds that there's no Soiseh even mit the Rabbanan. But if there would have been, if there would be a case where there would be malecha soysa midirabbanan, then you wouldn't be allowed to violate soysa or even soysa midirabbanan, but makam bachal nevish. But a mayor holds, no, it's not cemented, so there's no steer at all, it's only tiltal muktzah, so tiltal muktzah, makam bachal nevish, is mutter, is that shitas rameyer? But does rameyer mean to disagree with the Tanakhama? He agrees with the Tanakhama that there is soysa midirabbanan. Not only is it Tilta Muktzah Soysa also, but he says, even though we don't allow Boina and Soysa for Echal Nefesh, or for Tzach HaYom Klas, but if it's only Soysa Midirabbanam, Nishgefela, Soysa Midirabbanam, it can be Matam and Mokam Echal Nefesh. So that's what Shmuel says now. They asked the Kasha and Shmuel, how can he say that it doesn't make a difference whether Shabbos or Yontif? What about cutting the knots? They're tied together. So he says, if the knots are tied together, a building, and it's a shiloh seiser, a mechuba lekarka, real stira bekarka, bebinyan, not allowed, beim shabbos, beim yontif. And it's tied together, a kli, it's muta, beim shabbos, beim yontif. So he doesn't distinguish between shabbos and yontif. Beg markasha, there's a brisa that says, beferish, that there is a difference between shabbos and yontif. May say, the brisa says that be shabbos you're not allowed to, and be yontif you are allowed to. Beyontif matam afkilcha, beyontif you are allowed to. So Shmuel answers that brisa that says that you're permitted to do matar even though you're doing soiser. That brisa is alibi d'rameyer because it's only soiser midirabbanan. But and I and the Tanakhama disagrees with Rameyer. Pligi rabbanan alev. I know the yamik rabbanan. I hold like the chacham d'rameyer. So Shmuel is explaining that the machlekes amen rabbanan is not, but it's only tiltal muktzah. Or in addition to Tilta Muktzah, is it also Soysa? No, they both agree. Rav Meir and the Tanakhama both agree that there are two issues. There's Tilta Muktzah and there's Soysa Midirabbanan. The Tilta Muktzah, they all say that would be lifted. The prohibition of Tilta Muktzah, we would be prepared to be matter that, the Mokam Achal Nefesh. But the Soysa, real Soysa, there is in the Mokam Achal Nefesh, that we're not matter. What if it's only Soysa Midirabbanan? So that's a Machleg Zameir and the Rabbanan. So you have two examples of that. So one Soysa Midirabbanan is the Mishnah where you have bricks that are piled up where they're not cemented together. And here's another case, that's a Rashi explained. Here's another case where you're cutting the cord, you're cutting the knot. This is also only a Soysa Midirabbanan. Even though it's by karka.
Yeah.
That's what it means. I think so. Because he says it's only Mutar on Yontif, not on Shabbos.
Yehuda Shabbos discusses about that one person puts down cement and the other one puts down the brick. The one who puts down the brick is not chayv, it's only the one who puts down the cement in Shabbos, right?
Whoever puts second.
Whoever comes second. Puts the cement.
Well, let's say someone puts cement and he didn't put the brick.
No, and somebody else puts the brick. The one who puts the cement is chayv.
Even though he came first?
Yeah. But because putting down the brick itself is not considered doing unless you have the cement.
But if you put the brick on top of the cement,
it's still another. You say, yeah.
I think it's more later here also. Whoever comes second. Whoever comes second.
Finishes the job.
I don't know. So that's what the Gemara suggests, that it's a machlekes hatana. Drag the Gemara 5 lines from the bottom. How can that be? What, there's a machlekes a man, a rabbanon, me, pligi rabbanon, alei b'chasam, shebekarka. Is that true? That there's a machlekes a man, a rabbanon, about ripping the knot on chasam, shebekarka, v'hatanya, we have a b'rais, moirim chacham, l'ramne, b'chasam, shebekarka, that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cut it, and the yontov, you are allowed to cut it. So it says that everybody agrees that you're allowed to cut it on yontov. That there's no problem, that you are permitted to cut it on Yom Tov. Bein l'Rab Meir, bein l'Rabbanon. Everybody, not only is Rab Meir matir, the Rabbanon are also matir. So this brisa contradicts Shmuel. So the Gemara says, you're right. There is such a brisa that says that there's no violation of Soser at all. The Yom Tov, we would be matir. Bein l'Rabbanon, bein l'Rab Meir. But there's another Tana who disagrees, and Shmuel holds like this Tana. Who the Amikai Tana? The Tanya quoted Bryce. Shoy. Chasam Shabikarka. On Shabbos, what does it say? Matatan, tie the knot, it's mutta, because it's a Kesha Shenish al Kayama. I would like Matke, but I hate Hecha, Shabbos, Vechad Yantiv, that you're not allowed to. Baby Shabbos, Baby Yantiv, you're not allowed to. Shoy. Shoy. Freg the Gemara, all right, you just saved Shmuel. You pointed out there's a machlekes hatanoi.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Is there a malach? Are you mata the malach of soser by the karka by cutting a cord? Are you mata that iser on yontif l'tzarech al chanefesh? If you need the food that's hiding over there, you need the food that's inside the cabinet. So one brisa says all the tanaim would agree that it's mutter. That it's mutter on yontif, and Shmuel holds that it's also. So Shmuel holds like the other tanaim, like the second brisa. The Gemara says, but Shmuel doesn't agree with everything that it says in this brisa. Frag the Gemara on the fifth line, Teratz Talach Reisha. Yifarem for the first half of Shmuel that contradicts the brisa on the bottom of Lamed Beis. So you saved Shmuel, he holds like the Tan on the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. El Seifa Kasha, wait a minute. But it says in the Seifa over here, what does it say? The Shebikli, the Shabbos Matir, Avaloi Mafki, Avaloi Choytech. Whether it's Kesher Shal Kayama or not Kesher Shal Kayama. Okay, so it depends. Well, what about to cut the knot? I'm not untying the knot. So it says that you're not permitted to. We just said before, everybody agrees. If you have a knot on a Dova Hamital tail, there's no steer of the Caleb. So we said that that's Mutta Lagamri on Shabbos, to cut it. So what are you telling me that Shmuel holds like that? Shmuel doesn't hold like this Bryce, holds like that Bryce. No, he doesn't hold like this Bryce. He holds like the first half of the Bryce, but he doesn't hold like the second half. So what is he holding like? So the Bryce is against Shmuel. So the Gemara says, you're right. The second half of the Bryce is against the second half of Shmuel. About cutting knots on a Dova Hamitalto, cutting knots on a Kli. That this Bryce says it's Usser. But the reason why the Bryce says it's Usser is not because of Soser. No, there's no steer Bekalim. The reason why the Bryce says it's Usser is because you're using a challah knife. And a challah knife is normally used to cut challah. So this Tana holds, Rashi explains, if you could succeed in ripping the whole knot with your bare hands, without using any instrument that's miyuchet for hishtamshus on something else, then the Bryce would say it's mutter. What it says, you're not allowed to have a loy mafkiya v'choytech. How does it say? On Shabbos. Chaysam shebikalim. Loy mafkiya v'loy choytech means you're not allowed to use a knife to cut it. But if you're not going to use a challah knife, you're going to use your bare hands, that even a brisa would agree that it's mutter. So what's wrong if you use a challah knife?
Well,
a challah knife is a klisha malachta lehete. What are the rules? How do we hold? There are three kinds of kelim. There's a klisha malachta lehete, there's a klisha malachta leiser, and then there's a kli that's mamish mukta. So klish malachta leheta, let's say, is a chalonai, a spoon and a fork. So klish malachta leheta, you're permitted to be metaltal, to move around the tzara gufoi. I want to use it to cut something with it. The tzara mekodim, if it's in the way. Or mechama letzel, to protect it, that it shouldn't become gigambit. Someone's going to come and walk off with it. Or it's in the sun and it's going to get spoiled. Or it's in the rain and it's going to get ruined. Whatever. So you want to move it away, mechama letzel. What if it's a kli shemalach talis, a screwdriver, or you have a hammer? It's a kli. It's not a piece of junk. It's a kli. But it's a kli shemalach talis. So you're only permitted to move it letzor gufoy if you need the hammer to crack open a nut, or the screwdriver to open up a jar. That's letzor gufoy. All the tzofim come, it's in the way. You want to take it away. You want to set the table and eat here. It's not bekovedik. But mechama letzel, you're not allowed to. And what if it's mukta mamish? What do you have something that's mukta mamish? See, that you're not even allowed to be metaltal, even the tzar gufa, the tzar mukam is not had. Last week we were discussing about a mukta machmas chisor and kiss. Sometimes you have, let's say, a typewriter or a precision instrument or something that the ikarish tamshis is for malacha, and you're makbid not to use it for anything other than the malacha because it's a very expensive precision instrument. So then it's considered mukta mamish, and you can't even move it to the tzar gufa, the tzar mukam. You're not allowed to move it at all. So the Gemara says, what's the problem over here? Why does the Brice only permit you to rip the cord with your bare hands? Not what's wrong if you use a challah knife? Use a butter knife, whatever. So the Gemara says, oh, the Brice follows Rav Nechemia's opinion. I'll be pashas. Rav Nechemia is the biggest machmer of all. The Tana Rav Nechemia is of the opinion, Rashi quotes the Loshen, from Erev in Daf Lamed Hei, where it says in Rashi in parentheses, Daf Lamed Hei, Omen Aleph. So he quotes the Lashon of the Braisa there, afilu talis vafilu tarvud. Tarvud is a spoon in Mishnei Kibu. And a talis is a begging. So Reb Nechemi holds, even a talis, afilu a tarvud, a spoon, a begged, you're not permitted, mamish a klish malach to leheter, absolutely leheter, you're not allowed to be matal to el lezorch tashmish ha-miyuchad loy. You're permitted to move a begged, to put on the begged, and to take off the begged. But let's say to take a beged, an ein fall. He has to take this suit anyway to the cleaners. He's going to take the beged to wipe off the crumbs from the table. That's not what you normally use the sleeves of the jacket for. But now, the jacket got stained anyway. So Sunday, Monday, he has to bring it to the cleaner anyway. So he may as well clean off. No, sir, the Nechemi holds you're not allowed to. And the Nechemi holds you're not allowed to move any kli, even a kli shemalach to leheter. You're not allowed to be metalta unless it's for its normal purpose. He would not allow you. He would not permit you to crack open nuts.
The hammer's just used
for nails. So the Mele would say a challah knife or a butter knife or a normal knife for flesh to use a knife to cut the rope, that's not normal.
A knife is made for cutting. And if cutting.
There are special knives that are made, pocket knives that are made, the Boy Scouts have those kind of knives that are used for cutting ropes. Some of the longshoremen and the people who work on boats, so they have knives that are used for cutting ropes. Or in the stores, they have knives and a milchah for cutting ropes. When they make packages and they cut the rope. But the regular knives and a milchah for cutting food, you got to be mekalkal a little bit. You got to make it blunt. It's not going to be as sharp. When you cut challah, is one thing. When you cut a rope, you make it a little blunt. So that's not the normal hishtamshis. Reb Nechemi holds. Reb Nechemi is assumed to be the biggest machmir. It's not really mukta. It's not really. It's a klisha malach daleheta. But he holds. He's machmer. He claims that the Gemara gives the whole background there. That when Ezra and Nechemi came back from Golas Bavel, they came to Eretz Yisrael. They saw there was chil Shabbos all over the place. Everybody was machal Shabbos night, so they didn't know anything. He didn't know any of the din haTorah. So they had to pile on all kinds of chumras. And then as the generations went by, as they became more and more learned. So they lifted some of the chumras and they made kulas and kulas and kulas until the halacha was set up the way we have it now. Klish malach talisa, klish malach taleta, muktza, and so on. So this Tana Rav Nechemi, he's the biggest machmas. So he says, that's the way Ezra set it up. You never, and that's the way it remained. You're never permitted to be metalkal to use any kli, even though klish malach taleta, unless for its own normal hishtamshas. So the pashtus is that we assume that Nechemi is the biggest machmer. That's why most of the Rishonim assume. There is a minority opinion. There's a Rabbi Natam and Sefer Yosher. I remember the Rav once got stuck in a Gemara, Peladiki Gemara, in Masech Shabbos and Daf Lamed Hei, and he said he came up with an original Chiddush the way he interpreted, and then it came out that his original Chiddush taken Rabbi Natam and Sefer Yosher and several other Rishonim, say the favors like that. His interpretation. So part of his interpretation was Rabbi Nechemia is the biggest makel. Not that he's the biggest machmer, Rabbi Nachem is the biggest makel. So few, there's a balamot like that. Few rishonim say like that also. That what? Rabbi Nachem holds he can use muktzah, he can use klish malach talata, klish malach talisa, no problem, you can use whatever you want. But to use a kli in a way that is going to be make kalya the kli, to be mekalkal a kli, if you take a challah knife and you cut a heavy cord, if you have pie, some cake and cookies in the bakery, and you take a challah knife and you cut that little thin string, some stomach, it doesn't make kalya the knife, it's not going to ruin the knife. But if you have a fat cord and you're going to cut that with a knife, that's going to be mekalkal the knife, it's going to blunt the knife a little bit. That's what Rabbi Nechemi says you're not allowed to do. Not that he's so strict. You can only use a spoon for eating soup or for eating things that are normally eaten with a spoon. You're not allowed to use a spoon to eat your chicken with it. That's the way we normally learn Rabbi Nechemi. You're not allowed to be metalful a kli to use a kli for any ishtamshis other than its normal ishtamshis. That's why we normally learn Rabbi Nechemi is the biggest machmer. So the group of Rishayim say no, only if your ishtamshis is going to damage, it's going to make kalya the kli. And the example that the Gemara continues to give is, what's the din on Yontif? It's chilly and the person wants to warm up. So on Yontif you have logs. On Shabbos it's Havara, you're not allowed to burn even a tzarech al-chandav, you're not allowed to. But a yantav tzalcha, never tzalcha yantav tzas yolatu, or the person wants to cook food, so he throws in logs in the furnace in order that it should catch fire. There's a fire on, and he's cooking food or he's keeping himself warm. So he runs out of logs. Has an old table. He's going to buy a new table anyway. So he takes a table and he throws the whole table in. He takes a wooden chair and he throws the whole chair in. So he's allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, and the Chemi says, you're not allowed to. What's the Yisr? So all the Rishonim learn, because you're handling a kli shemalachta leheter, not in its normal hishtamshus, a wooden table, a wooden chair you normally use to sit on or to eat on or to lean on the table. Who uses a table or a chair as firewood when it's holding by the end? Then you use it as firewood, but that's not the normal hishtamshus. That's why most of the Rishonim learn that you're not allowed to do it because you're handling it for a hishtamshus that's abnormal. So these Rishonim, the Balamor and the Rabbein and Tam and the Sefer Yosha say no. The reason why is because it's going to get consumed by the fire. You're damaging it. You mekalkal it. But if you wanted to use the talus or the spoon, the tarvut for anything else under the sun, that's not mekalkal the kli. Because I'm tehet. Rabbein Nechemi is the biggest mekal. It's not that Rabbein Nechemi is the biggest machm. He's the biggest mekal.
So it doesn't hold from kolam akalkum tulin, Rabbein Nechemi. If he takes the table and throws it into the fire, it's mekalkal the table, right? Should be kolam akalkum betulin.
No, but what's the malacha? But what's the malacha? That he's doing mean the Ramaz malacha.
Yes.
He's in violation of the Ramaz malacha. Again, the Ramaz malacha, you see that it's not so.
Yeah.
Here it says the Tanoim say you're allowed to throw in a table into the fire on Yom, not on Shabbos.
Right.
On Shabbos it's Havara. Not only is it Havara to strike the match, it's Havara if the fire is burning to throw into it. Logs is also Havara. But on Yom Tov, when Havara is muta for cooking purposes or to keep warm, so then it says, well, most of the Tanoim say you are permitted to throw in a kli.
Yeah.
Into the furnace. Just from Nechemiah holds that it's not allowed. It's either because that's not a normal use of a kli, or because it's mekalkal the kli. That's a shaila. What exactly did Rabbi Nechemiah mean?
According to the sheet of the Balamor, it turns out like the Nechemiah, you put your hand on the open nuts, it's no problem. It's not mekalkal the hand.
Yeah, he would say it's permissible. And Rashi and most of the Rishonim. Minakotz al akotz, exactly. Is Rabbi Nechemiah the biggest machmer, or is Rabbi Nechemiah the biggest mekal? Right. That's a big machlokes Rishon. So the Gemara quotes over here, oh, that Bryce is Rabbi Nechemiah, that you're not allowed to use a knife to cut the knot, but if you use your hands, that's the same as Shmuel. There's no stira bekelim is mutter, no problem. If you do it with your hands, if you do it with a knife, that's Rabbi Nechemiah says you're not allowed to, whatever pshat the Rabbi Nechemiah is. Either because you mekalkal a knife or because it's not normal to use a knife. Even if you're not mekalkal a knife, it's not a normal hishtamshes of the knife. Preg de Gemara, but how can you invoke Shitas Rabbi Nechemiah over here? How do you say, Rabbi Nechemiah, if you tell me that this brisa that says, Avaloi mafki, Avaloi chaytech, that chaystam should be kalim, you have a box of chocolates and you want to eat the chocolates on Shabbos, you're going to take a challah knife to cut the wrapper.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Nechemiah says that you're not allowed to. Rabbi Nechemi says that what? That you're not allowed to, what is it? You're not allowed to, on Shabbos you're not allowed to, and on Yom Tov you are. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Rabbi Nechemi has this famous shita. Afilotalis, afilotarvit, any talam elotzof tashmish nam yuchad lahem. So that shita happens to be on Tosefta and Shabbos. But most of the dinim in Hilchos Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov as well. Kalish Malach Taleta, Kalish Malach Talisa, Mukta, Adarabah, Mukta is a little Mochama, Harba on Yom Tov than on Shabbos. So what are you telling me? That this price on top, this funny din, that Shmuel doesn't agree with, that's Reb Nechemia, that nobody holds like that Reb Nechemia. How can that be Reb Nechemia? It says in the first price on top here that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. What, Reb Nechemia Shita is only on Shabbos?
Yeah.
It doesn't apply to Yom Tov. The Gemara says not true. Not true. Frag the Gemara. Irem Nechemia. If you tell me that Bryce goes like my year, your Shabbos. Why does it say it's forbidden on Shabbos? I feel Yom Tov not me let it be forbidden. You're not allowed to use the challah knife on Yom Tov either to cut the cord. The Chitaimer, Reb Nechemia Shita only applies to Shabbos. Shanyalei, he distinguishes Shanyalei the Reb Nechemia in Shu Shabbos Shu Yom Tov. He only is machmer. I'll feel the Tabit is only on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. It's not true. You have a Beferish Abraisa about throwing in the chair into the furnace. When are you throwing in the chair into the furnace? On Shabbos, on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, Tarmanish. Tavaris, obviously it's on Yom Tov. So it goes on Yom Tov, and still you have a Abraisa that says you're not allowed to throw in a chair. And the only Tana that could be is Reb Nechemia. So you see Reb Nechemia holds his funny sheet, I'll feel the Tarbit, and he told me, even goes on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, you're right, it's two versions within Reb Nechemia. The version on the top price and this version. And with the Gemara Treitan, no, I'll leave it to Reb Nechemia. There are two versions of what Reb Nechemia said, whether his new shita, his new fangled shita, that you're not allowed to even use a challah knife to crack open nuts or something, whether it only applies to Shabbos or even applies to Yom. But we don't pass like Reb Nechemia. Whatever his shita was, we don't accept his opinion. Yeah.
Rashi on Amalek on the base, he translated the Greek,
you're permitted to untie it. Matter, he said, Matter the Kesha, the previous Rashi, Avalo, but this you're not allowed to. Mafkiya hachevel, a hevel is a thick rope. Listor avoso ugdilos, avoso means the thickness, ugdilosa means it's being twined together. When you have a thick rope, so you have quite a few strings all blended in together, that's called gedil. Gedila means the twining of it together, and the thickness is avoso. So you're going to take a knife to cut through the whole thing. So that says you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to cut the hevel.
So my
key
is with an implement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either with an implement or by hand, it doesn't make a difference. Whether by hand or with an implement, but Reb Nechemia's new sheet is only to use a knife.
I'm just talking about the concept of my key could be both.
Yeah.
Because
the Rashi answers is Chotech, that uses the
term
implement. Chotech
is cutting.
So
I thought that
Mafkiya
only meant by hand.
No.
Otherwise, why would
you
say Chotech
Yefus,
which implies with the utensil?
Let Mafkiya
v'loi
Chotech.
Basically, yeah. If you're saying
Mafkiya
is with a knife, what's the difference?
No.
I was
what's the difference? They're both the same thing.
Yeah. I know some of here maybe by hand. Chaytech might not.
Probably chaytech means that you go through straight through. Mafkia sounds
anyway.
Like it's going to be a sloppy job.
Maybe Mafkia is pulling out from the hole. Mafkia,
yeah,
like he pulls it out.
Mafkia is unwinding.
Like shoelaces.
To unwind the twine is Mafkia. Chaytech means to cut through everything in one shot. Mafkia means to rip apart. It's going to be a sloppier job. Chaytech means a cleaner job, I think. Same thing, basically the same. Yeah. So that's the gist of the Gemara. Nachamal. So Reb Nechemia has a new sheet. He is the biggest maker, the biggest not. Whatever it is, we don't accept his opinion. And then within Reb Nechemia, there are two opinions among the Tanoim. Trey Tanoi, leave Reb Nechemia. But his new fangled sheet only applies to Shabbos or even applies to Yom. To Trey Tanoi, leave Reb Nechemia. And then we left out another part. These three brises. The Gemara has Tani Chada, Tanya Idach, and Tanya Idach. There are three brises that are speaking about Yom Tov. The fellow ran out of logs, firewood. So he wants to throw something into the furnace in order to burn it. Like the skiers when they rent The places in the winter time, so they throw in the chairs and the tables, they throw in whatever they want because it's not their apartment, they don't care. So that's what he's doing over here. He's like the skiers. So the
Normally you told that Rashi was very cold. They used to make pianos for wood to make fire.
Uh-huh.
It was so cold that they couldn't
want to play piano.
So the Gemara has three brises. So one brise says you're not allowed to throw anything into the furnace. What's wrong? Not allowed to throw anything? Why can't you take an old chair, an old table? That's Reb Nechemya. So that's out of the question. We don't accept that opinion. That is prohibited. The chair is not muktzah. Kulish malach talahetta. So what's wrong if you throw it into the furnace on Yom Tov if you're cold? Okay, shout out from Baltashkes. But it's an old chair. He doesn't use it anyway. Sure.
Yeah.
So that brise we're not going to pass. What's the difference in the first brise and the second brise? So the first brise says mesikim hasake. Lahasika satana means to make a fire, to make a flame. So the first brise says tanicha the mesikim the kelim. However, the mesikim should become. You're only permitted to use as firewood kelim, a whole chair, a whole full chair. But let's say I have a chair that broke on Yom Tov. If the chair broke on the Erev Yom Tov, so it's firewood. It's not in the shape of a log, so it's in the shape of a broken chair. It's also firewood, no problem. But if the chair broke on Yom Tov, sitting on the chair, and it fell apart, so it's muktzah. So the first price it says mesikim bekelim. If you have a little chair and you want to throw it in, that's mutar on Yom Tov. However, if the chair fell apart on Yom Tov, a mesikim shouldn't come. You're not allowed to muktzah. But Tan Yidich, the second price it says it's okay. Mesikim bekelim. Bekelim. Not only are you permitted to throw in a full chair, you're even permitted to throw in a chair that fell apart in the middle of Yom Tov. Are you talking? But then it become muktzah. So that's what Rashi explains. The Gemara says, like Kasha, Harab Yudah, Harab Shimon, Harab Nechemya. That's according to Rab Shimon. What is Rab Shimon? So Rab Shimon had, we had on the first daf in the Masechta. Let's say somebody ate chicken on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So before Shabbos begins, the chicken and the pot is Michael Odom. You're not going to feed it to the behemoths. It's expensive stuff. So the chicken is Michael Odom. You finish eating the whole chicken, there's nothing left. So you just have bones. And now it's royal. Machla hakelet. Now it's for the dog. So the Michael Odom one is nishtana to become Michael Habehema. So what's the din about Atzamas Aklipin? What's the din on Shabbos Atzamas Aklipin? So let's say I ate an egg, I ate a hard-boiled egg and I have left the shell. We don't have, by us, we don't have any animals that eat shells. Maybe you go to the zoo. If you live near the zoo, and there are some elephants or some other balechaim who eat shells, so then it's the same shaila if you happen to live near the zoo. So you ate an egg in the middle of Shabbos Yom Tov, and it started off as a Michael Odom, and now you're left with the shells. It's Michael Odom, Shenishtan Aliyah, Michael Behema. That's going to be a Machlek Zeb Shimon and Rab Yudah, whether that's going to be Muktzah or not. But if you don't live near the zoo, then the shell is not Michael Odom, it's not Michael Behema, then it's Muktzah Mamish. Okay. So this machleg is whether atzomus the klip and the bones that are left over or the klip and that are left over. Machleg is on the first daf and beis on beis and aleph. It's talking the bones are roi for a kelev, and the klip and the shells are also roi for an animal that's normal. Cat, the dog, that's normal in your neighborhood. It's not that in Asia they have an animal that would eat this thing. So that's a machleg zeb shimon and Reb Yudah, whether you hold for muktzah or not. Or if you have a kli that broke in the middle of Shabbos, broke in the middle of Yom Tov. So how did it break? So if you had, let's say, a big chair. Originally you had a big chair. And in the middle of Shabbos and Yom Tov, the legs broke, and now it became a small chair. So adults who have long legs can no longer sit on it. It's not comfortable. But little children can sit on it. So that's cool. That's like Michael Odom, Shenishtan Elias, Michael Odom. Let's say the children are eating the chicken and they left over here for the chicken. So it's Roy Lachilos Odom. The parents may or may not decide to eat the leftovers. They may or may not decide to put it into the refrigerator to give it to the children tomorrow. They may decide not to patch it, they'll throw it out. But it's still Michael Odom. It's still Roy Lachilos Odom. So Michael Odom, Shenishtan Elias, Michael Odom. Or Michael Behem, Shenishtan Elias. That's not Muktzah. That's not Muktzah. So if you have a chair that broke, and now it's no longer roy to serve as a chair for adults. It's only good for a chair for children. So it's still the same mishtamshes. That's called kelim that are oisem meim alachtam harishayna. Kelim shenishtabro and they're oisem meim alachtam harishayna. So that's lachaladeh is not mukta. But when is it a machleg zeb shimon Rab Yudah? If originally it was a chair or a table, middle of Yom Tov it breaks. And now it's only useful as firewood. So firewood on Yom Tov is not mukzah.
Right.
But it wasn't firewood at the beginning of Yom Tov. At the beginning of Yom Tov, it was a chair. And now it converted to become a different thing with a different ishtamshus. That's like Machal Odom, Shenishtan Elias Machal Behem in the middle of the day. That's the old Machalek, Zab Shimon and Rab Yudah. So that's what the Gemara explained. That's why Rashi goes into the Arichas. Hor Rab Yudah, Hor Rab Shimon. The first Braisa that says, Mesikim Mikelim, Mesikim Mishivre Kelim. You're only allowed to throw in chairs or tables, but you're not allowed to throw in chairs that broke in the middle of Yom Tov. That Braisa follows Rab Yudah. That Machal Odom, Shenishtan Elias Machal Behem is going to be Muktzah. On a Kli A that converted to become Kli B is going to be Muktz in the middle of the day. And the second Braisa that says Mesikim Beim Bekelim, Beim Bishivei Kelim, that it's Mutter is no problem, that's Reb Shimon. He doesn't know from this issue of Noila Chena Gom. And the third Braisa that says that everything on the face of the earth is also, you're not allowed to even throw in a full chair, that's Reb Nechemya, that he's out of the question. We don't paskin like him at all. Reb Shimon Ab Yudah, it's Bob Becheshbon. On Shabbos we paskin like Reb Shimon, and on Yom Tov we're machmal like Reb Yudah.
According to Reb Yehuda, if Yehuda allows throwing a complete chair into a fire, apparently, he said that if you're allowed to make the continue this fire, but what difference does it make if the chair broke? You want to make a fire. What the fact that this chair now broke, what makes it forbidden? You're allowed to use it as firewood.
And it was a chair.
Why can't you use it now the fact that it's no longer a chair?
Because the nature of the whole thing changed. Like if you had Michael Ludden, that's what I ate up all the chicken, now I'm only left with the bones. So in the beginning of Yom Tov, it began as Michael Ludden, and now after removing all the chicken left with the bones, now it's only Michael Behemoth. So Reb Shimon, holds that that's Mukhtz, and Reb Shimon holds that it's not Mukhtz.
But the chair originally, it's not intention. The intention of the chair is not...
That's exactly.
So it started off as a chair.
You're taking the chair now as a full chair, you're going into a fire. That's not the original intention of the chair.
So that's Reb Nechemya's hang-up. Reb Nechemya holds you're not allowed to.
Yeah,
so we don't hold like Reb Nechemya.
I'm talking about Reb Yehuda.
Yeah, the others, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon say it's okay.
Reb Yehuda says you can take a full chair and throw it into the fire.
Yeah.
Okay? Why is the fact that this chair now is broken, can't you take that...
When it comes
to the chair, you're using it for a fire, which was not the intended purpose of it. So you're taking a full chair, you're throwing it... Why the fact that now that it's broken these pieces?
It will become worse.
So that's what the Gemara says, to use a kli for a purpose that it was never intended for. That's Reb Nechemya's story. And we don't accept this sheet, so we hold you permitted to use it for a hishtamshus that it was never intended for, even if it's mekalkal the whole original kli. Even though it ruins it, destroys it, consumes the whole shit. That we don't hold it like Reb Nechemya's did. But if it was a kli shenishtan aliyas legamri kli A, shenishtan aliyas legamri kli B, it converted to become a different kli. So that's the machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon.
In chicken, you say nishtan aliyas machu behema, but the bones were there before.
Were always there before, right? That's what the Rashi has on the first dot.
Yeah.
So he says,
but he says,
you look at the whole chicken, it's Michael Adam.
That's right.
I declare the whole thing is Michael Adam, even though you can't eat the bones from the very beginning. And after you finish eating all the chicken, there's nothing left for people to eat. Now what's left is Michael Behemoth.
The second time, though, couldn't the Gemara say that they were Amedas Lishviru, just like the Gemara is talking about the Behemoth, that it was Amedas, so you can shecht it, because it was sick. It was about, so what do you say here? If the chair was shaky and was about to be...
That's what we're talking about, the chair was shaky. If a chair would be a very solid chair, Reb Shimon would say that it would be muktzah.
Instead of being toilet in a machlek, it's a tanur.
Means say that they're both Reb Shimon.
Yeah.
Say if the chair is a very healthy, a very strong chair, even Reb Shimon agrees that it's muktzah when it breaks. No. Okay, same thing. The Gemara was going to say this anyway. In Masechah Shabbos they have this. Reb Shimon, Reb Yudah, and Nechem, in a few places. Here they have on the side. Shabbos Avchof, a few more than those places. See, all these Marmekoymes, Shabbos, Avchof Teh, Chof Ches, Chof Tes, Chof Tam, Kuf Nam Gimel, it has all the three Brises, Mesikim, Mekalim, and so on. But Horeb Shimon, Horeb Nechem, Horeb Yudah, that's in more places.
Yeah.
That's on Lamed Hay also on Shabbos, Lamed Vok. Gemara has that in a few places. Okay. The next Mishnah continues with a different theme on Yontif, an issue of Oisek Kli. At least the first line of the Mishnah. First line of the Mishnah. The Makabat Patish is not permissible on Yontif. So it says you're not permitted, you know, let's say like this. Balbasta wants to bench licht. I don't know. If someone wants to light a candle, they put the candle into a leichter. They don't want to walk around with a candle. So you take clay and you put it together and you put your thumb in, you make a hole and you put the candle in. So this doch mamish makabat patish, it just made, even though it's only a temporary leichter, but still they made a kli, so you're not allowed. So the Mishnah said, that's what it sounds like in the Mishnah. Ain't poichsam es haner, v'pnei sho'oseh keli. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Candle holder.
Yeah.
Right. The ner doesn't mean the candle. Yeah. Ner means the leichter, the candle holder.
You say potato?
Yeah, that you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do that on Yontif. To take a potato and to take a knife and to carve out a hole and to make it into a container. So that's what you're not allowed to do on Yontif. Yeah. The stomach wouldn't be on Malacha Deraisa because it's only Aroi, that's
right.
Not Kavua, that's not Malacha Miskayemis, but still it'll be, it's a lack of Malachas Mashevis, it's a Kalacha Yad.
Maybe
you
take some potato, we're taking an apple, making a hole, put it on top of my flag for the children,
and put
like
a candle.
It's like a candle.
So they made the hole on Yontif?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they pushed the apple into the stick,
yeah.
And then they carved out the apple to be able to put in a candle.
Yeah.
Like in
I don't remember.
The pastor, the children put the.
You remember the
apple?
Yeah, yeah. So he used to carve a hole in the apple on Yontif.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Should be a shayla. Should be also. I don't know.
But just sticking in the apple would also be a shayla, even into the stick.
Just
no?
To stick the apple in. Well,
you
what's
also make
the
a hole.
There's no reason to make a hole.
But
this is to make a hole that it should that it should be a kli.
But is all,
so if I make a hole in an apple in order to hold the candle, so I make a candle. I made a candle holder. I made a leichter out of the apple. But to stick an apple on top of a flag, I don't think that's an issa. I remember there used to be candles on top of the apples on top. I don't remember that they dug the hole.
How else would they hold the candle up there?
I don't know.
Let's say if I stick the apple into it'll be the same thing. I put the wood and then I turn it over and I stick it in the other side and then I have already a hole. Will also be the
same thing.
Doesn't matter how you do it.
Same thing. Kalacha Yad. So you lower it. So it's a double the Rabban.
Yeah.
The whole Masakan Mana is only the Rabban because the whole thing is Aroi.
Right.
It's not Malachtim is Kayemis. And he did it Kalacha Yad. Instead of doing it with a knife, he did it by pushing the stick. It's still going to be a double the Rabban. Anyway, so the Gemara is going to have a discussion on the first line in the Mishnah that it says you're not permitted to make a clay leichter on Yontif because it's Misakin Mani. Gemara says, well, it's not so borrowed that it's Osir. And Gemara finally quotes a Machlekes Satanoi. So Rashi has like this, they used to have Beitzim, it doesn't mean eggs. Rashi calls a Beitz a thing that's big and round. Tosis calls it a Goylem.
Yeah.
Tosis had a little different gear than Rashi. A Goylem means a blob. A blob of clay that has no shape, it's just a ball. So if you take your thumb and you stick it in order to make a place to put a candle, so that's called Misakin Mana. He puts it in his egg roll, or actually he puts in his fist, he puts in a thumb, in order to hold either a big candle or a thin candle, okay? So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim, is that called Misakin Mana or not? The Gemara says. So
clay.
So Taisus says, how could that be a machlekes satanayim? That's the top Taisus. Taisus says, Pirush Rashi, to take a goylem shala yotza. Yotza means a manufacturer, that they have big blobs of clay. You stick your fist into it, or you stick your thumb into it to make a small holder. In order to carve out of it a candle holder, a candlestick, basically it's a malachim second money, and that's a machlokes satanayim. Gemara's going to fish up who's the Tana who holds that it's osa. Why should it be osa? The Gemara chapter is the Mishnah. There's up that it's osa. So they quote that Mishnah from Kalim, and they quote that Mishnah from Adius. They dig up and under the Atasef and Kalim. Nishkan Mishnah, the Seftan Kalim, and the Mishnah Afavarf and the Mishnah Nadius, to show that there is a Tana who holds that it's Aser, but many Tanaim hold that it's Mutter. So Taisa says, how could it be that that's a Machlaikis? Pshita the Aser. I feel like nice a Kli Gomer, even if you don't make a full Kli, that's also Nisa Makaba Patish. To make a Mikzas Kli is also Nisa Makaba Patish. How can it be the Gemara says that that's a Machlaikis Atanoim? And some hold that it's muta. Does then kasha? Then you continue in the Gemara. The Gemara, take a look in the Gemara. We'll read slow, then we'll look back in the Taisa. The Gemara says on the Mishnah, on this first line, Mantana, the Gemara challenges the Mishnah. Bezokt, why should it be an Isa Mesakan Mana? Mantana, the Pchisa Saner Mana, who sheet is that? That to make a hole in the clay container to set it up as a leichter is Mesakan Mana. So the two versions of Rav Yosef. The two versions. Abai was the Talmud of Rav Yosef. So the two versions. Rav Yosef gave up Safavorfin and Mara Mokum from somewhere. And then Abai chepped his Rebbe. Rav Yosef is not so convinced that he's right. Rav Yosef defended his position. So the first version is, Rav Yosef, he pulls out that Tosef the Rav Meir, he did Tanya. Kli Cheres, Meir Mesai Mekabel Tumah. When is it considered a Kli that it should be Mekabel Tumah? Zokhtem ish enigma malachta de Rav Meir. When you make it into a Kli that it has a base kibble, it's already Mekabel Tumah. Rav Yeshua disagrees and he says, no, just making a hole, if you take clay, Kli Cheres is earthenware. If you take clay and you stick a finger in and you can put something in it, so Reb Meir holds that that's a kli. Reb Yeshua says that's not good enough. You have to put it into the oven, and that's a gemar malachtoi. So it's a machlokes hatanaim. So Reb Yosef says that our Mishnah that says that sticking your thumb into the clay is a makala patish, that's Reb Meir and the Shitas is Tam Mishnah Reb Meir, and Reb Yeshua would disagree. So Tosis says that's wild. What? That's a machlokes hatanaim. We have a klal that there are three kinds of material that are bechlal not mekabel tumah. Klei glolim, klei avonim, klei adomim. Are not mekabel tumah. And there's no machlokes hatanoim about that. So klei adomim means earthenware vessels that were not baked in the oven. If you baked it in the oven, then it's called klei cheres. But if you didn't bake it in the oven, they say that in Russia, still ala yamazet, there are areas in Russia where they use klei adomim. They say there are areas where they use klei glolim. Klei Glolim is a machloikis. Rashi has two pshat, and Klei Glolim is not a kabel tumah at all. So one pshat Rashi writes is that it's made from ivory
from the
huffs of the elephants. That's Klei Glolim. Nidbachim b'evin glal. Glal is the Aramaic word in Tanakh for ivory horns. Yeah. So that's one pshat. Then Rashi has another pshat. No.
Yeah,
it's
dung,
made from dung of animals. Yeah. So they say that in Russia, Adayam Hazed, there are villages where they make kalim from Klei Glolim, and they eat food on such kalim. So such a kli, that's a klei glolim, whatever that means. Klei glolim, klei avonim, klei adoma, klei avonim. If you have stoneware, if you have kalim made out of stones, there's not makabal tum. There's no kabbalah tum. So Rabbi Natam says, how can that be that that's a machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yeshua and a Tosefta and kalim? The Reb Meir says you take a piece of clay and you shape it into a vessel and it has a hishtamshis, it's makabal tum. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, she yitzarfa b'kipshon. You have to burn it in the kiln. Of course, Reb Meir also agrees. If you're not going to burn it out in the kiln, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. It's klei adoma. When you finish, when you make the shape, it's already called the kli. And Rabbi Shua disagrees. No, you have to put it in the oven. So the Rabbi Tam says that's impossible. When you shape it and you make it into a base kibul, it's only klei adoma. Of course, you have to put it in the oven. You have to make it into a klei cheres. Kozman, you don't bake it in the oven. It's just a klei adoma.
And the kasha is against Reb Meir.
The whole brisa doesn't make sense. The way Rashi reads the brisa, the whole brisa doesn't make sense. That halacha that you have to, that klei adom is not mekabel tumah, dos hatnish ken shaychus duchus yontif, on yontif misaken mona makaba patish. Everybody holds you can be in violation of makaba patish even on klei avonim, klei adom, klei glolim also if you make a kli out of it. So Rabbi Natam says he doesn't understand chlal what's going on here. How can you have a machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yeshua and this Tosefta? Reb Meir doesn't make any sense. It's klei adoma. It doesn't read straight.
There's nothing to do with Rashi. There's nothing to do with the Perish Rashi.
Well, that's the way Rashi reads the whole story here. So Rabbi Natan reinterprets the whole story. Hacham askinon. They already baked it. They already have cheres. It's not a goylem. It's not a blob of clay, and you put your fist in it. No, they had a blob of clay, and they already put their fist in it. They already made a hole. Let's say they took a cork. They took a cork and they put it in there, and they baked it in the oven like that. And then the shaila is when they pull out the cork later on, yeah, that's called ein pach sinas haner.
So you pull the cork out on
when you pull the cork out. When you pull the cork out on yontif, is that called mesaken mana or not? So the Gemara quotes, well, that's a machlekes hatanoin. The Mishnah says ein pach sinas haner, not like Rashi. Ein pach sinas haner goes, you're not allowed to put your thumb. Avadi, you're not allowed to put your thumb. Everybody would agree that that's makaba padish. How can the Gemara claim that that's tomei and a machlekes hatanoin? No, you already baked it with the cork on Erev Yontov. You want to know on Yontov, you want to yank out the cork and put a candle in. So the Tana says in the Mishnah, pulling out the cork is Mesaken Mona. So the Gemara says, why is it Mesaken Mona? You're still not finished. You still have to do more work. So the Gemara says, no, according to Rav Meir, you're finished. It's already called a kli. It's not called clay adama because it was baked in the oven. They baked it with the cork. So Rav Meir says, finished. Nigma Malachta, it's Roy Lekabel Tumah. Bishua says, no, no, the people don't use it. That's not normal. Normal is if you bake it, after you took out the cork, then you put it in to bake it some more. The continual, yeah, the final glazing is not because otherwise it'll be clay adoma as opposed to clay cheris. No, it already is clay cheris. But you didn't finish the makam apatish yet. You didn't finish it. Just like Rabbi Shua says, you didn't finish the asiyas hakli yet, so that's why it's not mekabel tumah. So Rabbi Shua would disagree with the Mishnah. He would say that it's permissible to pull out the kork on yon. You didn't finish the kli yet.
Yeah.
So Abin Atam learns in Gansan everything different. That's how Taisus learns Pshat. That's how Taisus learns the first half of the. That's how Taisus reinterpreted the Mishnah. Does not putting your thumb in to make the
hole.
The hole. Avada it's asiyas mana, mesaken mana, and everything he reads differently. So that's the first version of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says the Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, Hamani Rabbi Meir, is Favorfen et Toseften Kalim, that Rabbi Shua would disagree with the Mishnah. Amalei Abaye, Abaye was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. Seichep is the Rebbe's Tzushtel. So he says, Mimai, how do you know that Rabbi Meir's opinion over there in Kalim should apply over here? Dilma, perhaps. Atkan kamra meir hasamel of the Chazal Kabuli Beimidi.
It's a base kibble.
It's a base kibble.
And has a base kibble. What did they do over there? They made a kli. What was the story? They made a kli. Mishenigma malakta. They made a kli and they finished it. So he says over there in that Toseftin kid, maybe it has a hishtamshus ready now. So Rabbi Shua says it's not normal to use it the way it is now. They're going to bake it again a second time. It's not a normal hishtamshus. Now Rabbi Meir says no, it's a normal hishtamshus even before you bake it the second time. So Rabbi Meir is talking it's normal. Aval hocha. Lamai chazi question mark. What are you going to use it for over here? When you just pull out the cork, no one's going to use it for anything. So Rabbi Yosef answers back, no. The kabula be pshite. It has a little container, space of a container. You can put coins in. You can put pennies or dimes over there. That's not the normal ishtamshes. Normally, Mistami going to use it to put a candle in. But it's not ready yet to put a candle. So that's what Abai Tainas. It's not ready to put a candle in coins on Muktzah. You're not going to use it for coins on Yontif. That's not the normal ishtamshes. Abai Chepes. The mayor should also hold over here that it's not called Asiyas Kli. How can you even say that the Mishnah goes, I'll leave it right there? So Rabbi Yosef insists, no, since it does have a little ishtam, theoretically it has little ishtamshas, so there is a violation of Mesakamon. That's the first version of Rabbi Yosef.
But Tosfos Kashi would continue until that too. Because
that
according
what?
To Tosfos, putting the kibbul by measure is not helpful, because it's still a clay adumu.
No, that's really big.
He says that everything is baked already. He says the Mishnah and the Tosefta, everything is baked already. The first baking. Tosus.
Oh, that's probably. The Kasha of Tosefus against Rashi would continue into that also. You cannot say that it is only because it has a base kibble, because it isn't baked yet.
He says everything is baked. He says the Mishnah goes, it's baked, and the Tosefta and Kelim, everything was baked already. According to Rashi, everything is a Pella.
Yeah.
We don't understand Rashi at all. We don't understand Rashi is Gora Pella. In fact, when the Rashba quotes this, Tosefus, it's like Tamua. He says, Tosefus doesn't mean it. He says, Halocha Ravachas be Yisrael. It's an ongenumen it didn't. There's no machlokes. Declare Doma Nama Kavutum. We never heard a Tana who disagreed. How can it be that Rashi's saying pshat like an impossibility? Tosefus doesn't even ask it such a shtark a kasha. The Rashba makes the kasha more sensational. It's unheard of.
Table.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the first version. The Rav Yosi says our Mishnah follows one Tane, and it's a machlokes hatanoi, and it's Tam Mishnah Rameyer, and it corresponds to Rameyer and the Tosefta and Kim. Then the Gemara goes by the Ikediam. Another version has it. It's Rav Yosi and it's Talmud Abai, Chepes. But he shtelts to a different source, not a Tosefta and Kalem, a Mishnah and Adius. Another version has it, when he gave Shira on the Mishnais, he said, it's Rav Lezer Rav Tzodik, this not. What's it does? Ilfis in Charonios, some kind of pots. An ilfis is the word for a pot. So if you have some kind of a pot that they use in the villages, it's Tohar be'oil ha'meis, with tmeos be'masa hazav. This is also going to be. This
yeah,
is Rashi has also
mouth.
Very difficult, and Taisa says against often the Mishnayos, against often the Gemaras. How can it be? Rashi's a pillar on both. But maybe we should save this for next week because this is going to take an egg. Okay. The halachas are not so complicated, but it'll take a while just till we plow through. Okay. So the Taisa is going. In fact, the Rashi has it all together in one paragraph. The both Taisa and he puts together because it's they wipe off the whole Rashi over here. It's a pillar. This week we lay in Tazria Metzora. So the both haftarahs from Tazria Metzora come from Sefer Malachim, and there's a hemshech. It's not the same perek. There's a hafsaka between the two, but it's a hemshech between the two nevuas. That in the haftarah of Tazria, so the Novi tells about the big general.
Naaman.
He was a very big general, and he suffered from tzaras, and he heard that there was a Novi, the Jews had a Novi who can, a wonder, who's a miracle man, he can cure all the sick people. So the Melech Aram sent a message to Melech Yisrael that I have, I understand you have a Novi there and you have a miracle
make
people. Make a miracle again. So he thought, the Melech Yisrael thought he's just to check and just starting off to make a war. He didn't know what to do, so the Novi said, send him to me, and he healed him. So then the Pasuk continues to say, the Haftarah doesn't have the whole story. The Pasuk continues to say that he was, first he didn't want it, he told him he should be Tovel in the Yarden. So he says he has cleaner rivers where he comes from, he has Amona Farpa, has better rivers with pure water, healthier water. He says, no, Eretz Yisrael is different. So he was Tovel in the Yarden. And the Tzaraas went away. So he was so appreciative. So he sent a messenger to give him Matana to Elisha Novi. He gave him Matanas, and Matanas to Elisha said he doesn't accept any gifts. He's a salaried man. He doesn't need any Matanas from the outside. So that was the Kiddush Hashem. But then the Haftarah, then the Novi continues to say that his Shamas, Gehazi, chased. He was listening when everything happened. He knew there was a lot of money. So Gehazi chased after Naaman, and as he was traveling back, so he said, "My boss changed his mind. If you give me the matanos, I'll give it back to Elisha Novi." So he was very appreciative. So he gave him all the millions of dollars, and then he pocketed it for himself. So the next haftarah begins. Rabbo Anoshim Hayu Tmeim. Rabbo Anoshim Hayu Mitzrayim Pesach Hashar Shar Shomo. So the Gemara says, the Medrash quotes the Gemara, who were the Abu Anoshim? This was Gehazi and his three sons. But because they made such a chil Hashem over the money issue. Money, what? They didn't have any money. It says that they had Nisim. The Haftarah begins, the Haftarah Tazria begins, that Elisha with the Talmidim, Elisha had a lot of Talmidim. They had no food. So someone came from Baal Shem. Elisha was not Shnas HaShmita when nothing grew, the Gemara says, and they gave him a little cookie. And it, some miracle happened, and everybody was full, and there was left over. Teilon by Yochelu and Vahoyser. There was left over. They had, they didn't need. They had no need for clothing, no need for money, no need for food. Everything was taken care of. But nonetheless, he was into money. So there was a scandal over here. So because of the Chil Hashem, the scandal over the money. So that's what the Chazal had a tradition. He was punished. Not only he was punished, his three sons. We're also Mitzrayim. Every so often we read in the papers about scandals by Frum Eden, by Shamosim, by Big Tzadik, and by Big Talmid HaChachamim. We read about scandals. We say Baruch Hashem that it was only over money. It could have been worse. Could have been a bigger scandal. But it's also Achil Hashem. It's not only Achil Hashem because they got caught. Here we never got caught.
Yeah.
The Chil Hashem is an Aveira. The Gemara says, "B'makom sheish Chil Hashem in Chol Kovid LaRav." What does it mean, Chil Hashem? Does mean Chil Hashem is scandal? Everybody knows that. Chil Hashem means when the Gemara says, whenever a person does an Aveira, so he's Dechik Ragli Ashchina. The Shchina runs away. So Rav Chaim Volozhin says that's what the word Chil Hashem means. Cholo means empty space, vacuum. The Kodesh Baruch is Meloi Chol Haaretz Kevoidoi. So when a person does an Aveira, so the Shchina runs away. So this place where the person did the Aveira is a Chilul Hashem. He just chased away. He's Dechik Ragli Ashchina. He just chased away the Shchina from him. So it's not only if the person gets caught. Anything that's considered an Aveira. If a person does an aver, there's a very chashem. Kalvachem, if he does the aver b'farhesia, if a person does the aver b'farhesia, or he gets caught, so it's even a bigger chil hashem, but even if the person does the aver, it never gets caught. It's also a chil hashem. So that's the Musa Haskell that we should learn from the story.
Do aver, it's part of a mitzvah.